phony.
And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I wish I could be in the living room of somebody who's listening to this show.
Jeff Lutz.
You think they're listening in their living room?
And maybe.
It's not 1943.
It's a strange world.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back. It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz, your co-host, Max Power, your producer and engineer. And the IHOP hotline is 869-1240. Some updated news about IHOP.
What we got?
Well, I mean, starting very soon, next week, you can do all you can eat pancakes.
Really?
Now, that when I saw that, it brought to mind the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July
right.
every year, right?
Sure.
Where people are scarfing down hot dogs.
Right.
What would a pancake eating contest look like?
I don't know.
And should I try to get one together?
No.
As a fundraiser for League 42?
You should not.
Why?
I don't know. That doesn't feel to me like a good idea. Doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of League 42.
Don't all kids love pancakes?
But are we, is it a kids contest? I mean,
not really. It could be.
I don't know if gluttony is like just the theme I want to go for.
What do you think of the hot dog contest?
Oh, we're going to have a karaoke.
Oh, we'll figure it out.
Celebrity karaoke.
But listen to this. This isn't a bad idea.
It's not a good idea.
It's a new idea. The only problem is, how would you go about a pancake eating contest? I can't eat a plain pancake without syrup, but if you start to pour syrup on them, you get full so quick, and the sweetness is going to get... How would you do it? What would be your strategy in a pancake eating contest?
I don't know. How do you make sure they're all the same size?
Exactly. You just do.
I guess.
You have experts doing it. Answer my question about the syrup, because obviously to eat more pancakes, you don't want to have syrup. What do you do? I can't eat a pancake without syrup.
I'm trying.
What's your strategy?
I could. I mean, I don't think that's.
But what's your strategy?
Try to eat as many as I can. I don't have a strategy.
Could you do it without syrup?
Of course.
What would you put on it?
Nothing.
Plain pancake.
Yeah, I don't think.
Just batter cooked.
Yeah, it's batter. It's not. It's got sugar in
it. No butter for the batter?
I don't know, man. I'm so over this right now.
Have a discussion with me.
I was about to, but I don't have a strategy.
I want to talk about whatever you're talking about on your phone.
Pancakes?
Yeah, tell me about it. I do want to talk about that.
Fastest time to eat 10 pancakes. Andre Ortolf of Germany ate 10 pancakes in 19.46 seconds.
That's not a bad idea. Instead of more, what about how fast?
I think that's
not a bad idea.
That's what it is.
That's not a bad idea. I just
most pancakes eaten in a minute, 113.
All right, you got 1 minute to eat as many pancakes as you can. The winner.
That can't be true. There's no way that's true.
Well, listen to my idea.
Well, it is true.
We're going to go for the
8 minutes.
We're going to go for how fast can you eat 10 pancakes?
Okay.
And we're going to enter that contest, it's $100.
No one's going to do that,
okay?
Are they?
And the prize is $1,500.
You think you're going to get enough money and enough entrance to where you can make a sizable profit at paying 15 people $100 or whatever, $1,500?
What if 1,000 people enter? At $100 each.
What?
That's $100,000. And I'm paying $1,500 to the winner.
That's not enough.
All right, $5,000 to the winner.
What does second place get?
$1,500.
Still, I don't think that's enough.
$2,000.
I think you got to give away
$2,500 to second.
If it's $100,000, you got to give away at least 30%. So $30,000.
Listen,
I would say $25,000.
I'm giving out. $5,000 to the winner, $2,500 to second, and $1,000 to third.
That's too greedy. I think you got to give $25,000.
How many could I get to enter it?
Six.
You only think six people would
You know
pay
a lot of competitive eaters in Wichita?
But this is a charity thing.
No one wants to do that. No one wants to stuff their faces.
869-1240, Russ. If you'd be somebody who would enter
that contest.
Is Russ
our only listener?
If you would enter the contest, give us a call. And Max, get ready for the phones to light up.
No one would. David Michael Hahn would do it.
Okay.
That's
Duda would do it.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, of course he would.
Duda, as I've told you, overrated when it comes to food adventurousness. He has his things that he likes, and that he's the same as everybody else.
He'd do it.
No, he wouldn't.
If you can pay $100, okay. $10,000 to the winner.
$25,000.
$5,000 to second. $2,500 to first. That's third. That's $17,500.
You got
to
give, like I said, you got to give away.
I got to get at least 100 signed up.
You got to give away 30% of.
But that could become a national thing.
It couldn't. It already is, and your little local.
But it's different than the hot dog eating contest.
Is that right? Not really.
Yes. All you got to do is eat 10. It's a matter of how fast.
So you're going to make people pay $100. To eat 10 pancakes. That's a bad deal off the top.
But the winner gets $10,000.
Yeah, everybody else loses $100.
So what? People do things for charity. They're not that interested in winning. They just want to help the charity.
They're interested in winning.
That's a pretty good idea.
Well, good luck. Put it together then.
What do you think of it, honestly?
I don't like it.
Why?
I told you why. I gave all the reasons.
I want you to say it again. I want listeners to hear you.
I don't think that's in the spirit. No. Stuff your face for charity. Why don't you have a pancake?
That's not a bad
name. Why don't you just have a pancake feed for charity?
Stuff your face for charity.
Why does it have to be a contest?
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Why don't you just come in?
Would you be one of the judges?
Judges of what?
Well, you make sure they're really eating.
No, I would not.
You make sure they're really eating the pancake.
I would have absolutely nothing to do with that. If you had a pancake feed. And people could pay to eat three or four pancakes. Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, but you can't raise that kind of money doing that. You got to put a competition to it.
No, you don't.
People love to compete.
No, they don't. No one.
Of course they do.
No one wants to eat 10. No one. Just come on, man.
Be serious. You are in such a sour mood.
Well, be serious. You're making me comment on these unserious things.
Turn in your resignation.
I'm about to.
If you can't handle this show anymore, this show doesn't need you.
Be serious.
I am serious.
Tell me a serious idea.
I think that's a decent idea.
No, you.
So is the karaoke idea. I just got to figure out how to get it off the ground. What would you pay to compete in karaoke? You pay $100. And you got
100.
You got three songs.
No.
I got guys who are dying to run this for me.
Well, then have them do it.
You get three songs. First place, same, $10,000. Although you'd have professionals coming in to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have professional pancake eaters.
I'm sure they would do it for $10,000.
That would just be anybody on the street.
We have our guest.
Why do you dismiss me?
This is a terrible idea.
You know what? The big fella Anthony or Duda would be having the time of their lives.
No, they wouldn't. They
talking about this.
Why do you want that? Why do you want people to bow to you when you have?
Bob.
Do you really want that in your life?
No, they wouldn't say, "Yeah, Bob." They'd just be having the time of their lives talking about it.
No, they wouldn't.
This is right
up. Why do you want dishonesty?
This is right up my friend Jason Duda's alley.
No, it's not. It absolutely is not. Jason Duda would, there is a 0% chance he would do this.
Max, call Jason Duda.
I'm not saying there's even a sliver of a chance.
Max, call Jason Duda, get him on the air. I don't know. I don't care what you have to do, Max. If you don't make this happen, what?
I don't know.
You're dismissed.
Why do you want to fire everybody? What authority do you think you have? Because whatever it is, you don't.
Why do you get so?
Because I'm irritated.
I know you are, but don't let your irritation with horrible the Cleveland idea, Guardians cross over to me.
This horrible idea that you will not abandon. You should abandon it right now. Say I'm done. I apologize to the audience and to me.
I'll never apologize for an idea.
Even if it's not good?
Ideas just go through my head. They always have. And some of them work and some of them don't. But I'm never going to stop having them.
Maybe just for a couple of days, stop having them.
Ideas are a part of my life. I mean, I was a writer for many years. You got to have ideas.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I still...
I think if you went to any of your previous bosses with whatever the equivalent is, or even this idea itself, they would emphatically discourage you from pursuing it.
Max, do we have Duda? Not yet. All right, he's working on it. Let's ask you what you think of this idea of a pancake eating
contest. We know what
contest.
Max is going to say. Don't you know these people well enough yet?
Max, go ahead. Don't listen to Jeff. Just tell us what you think. Either you like it or you don't. I can handle it.
He's calling Duda.
No, Bob,
I
only can eat 5 pancakes tops. So.
Well, there you go.
He's not in.
These would be dollar size.
Silver dollar pancakes?
Yeah, dollar size pancake.
I don't think that's a term.
Yeah, that's what you order, dollar size
silver
pancake.
Dollar.
I've never had a silver dollar pancake.
That's what they are. They're silver dollar pancakes.
You know what? If we can't get Duda, I'm not firing Max. I'm firing Duda.
That's fair.
What do you think of that? Are you on board?
Yeah.
Because you're not very happy with Duda.
I'm not. I don't appreciate.
You don't like that thumbs up.
I don't appreciate the disconnect he has with people in his life. He always talks about, we can go 20 years and not talk, and, we'll pick up right. Well, why don't you just not go 20 years talking to people that you like? How about that?
Maybe it's just part of who he is. I don't know who do you think you are?
Somebody's not going to give up on friendships.
Well, do you think he's given up on your?
I think he's given up on all friendships.
Well, I think he's my friend.
He texts people in Canada, doesn't have to see them, so that's easy for him. Has to see me and deal with me, so there's some fear of vulnerability when texting me that he can't just be a human being.
You sound so weak right now.
No, I think that's what it is.
I left him a message.
He's fired, Max. Max left Duda a message, for whatever that's worth. I don't know what motivates him. He's obviously
Have you ever seen
husband.
Him motivated?
He's obviously a good husband, a good father, a breadwinner for his family, somebody who goes to work every day and does so diligently. He was one of the great hockey players in this city's history.
And the more I know about him, the more that blows my mind, that this guy put in time and effort into something. And made it his life's
what?
Work.
Well, he's going to knock you out.
It's just.
I'm going to tell you, we're going to be at the pump house tomorrow. and Darren and all the people down there at the pump house, it's going to be early. But you could have a fist fight.
Might.
And it won't last long. But you could have a little bit of a.
Dude, was not a fighter.
You could have a little bit of a fist fight tomorrow night when Duda gets hold of Jeff.
Well, bring it.
Trust me, you don't want him to bring it.
I'm not afraid of Jason Duda.
Oh, really?
What's he going to do, not lose sleep? I mean, that's the only threat.
Why are you attacking him so violently? This makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it one bit.
Well,
I want this show to have harmony.
Just
because you got a thumbs up,
yeah,
shouldn't rattle you the way it is.
Well, I prefer a connection.
Why are you so desperate?
I prefer something.
You got David Michael Hahn for that.
At least
enjoy that. You don't need
somewhat stimulating.
You don't need Jason Duda connection. You want too much. This is part of the problem. This is what the Jason Eady thing was about.
It doesn't have to be.
You want this?
It doesn't have to be in depth. But I would like it if you said, "Yeah, I'll be there." Sounds fun.
Like you say that?
Just be a human being.
Like you would say that?
Yeah.
Let me read some recent texts I've had with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Read me the thumbs up one I sent.
All right. Let me just read them. Skeens might become the best ever, but we beat him. Good job.
Yeah, I mean,
not hey, that's really impressive. I know you only needed two runs, but that's still pretty good. Nice, you know. Here's one. I just bared my soul.
Yeah.
Alec Burleson can hit.
That's bearing your soul?
Yes.
You're more like Duda than I thought. If that's
and here's your response. Guardians can't. I mean, just nothing. I never get anything. Here's another one. hold on a minute.
Yeah, because I'm a wonderful son.
Can you track down Caden Favors for today at 2:45? I sent you this last week before we had Caden on the show. Here's your response. I'll work on it. That's a good idea for a guess. Just a simple...
What do you think I thought it was? Of course it was a guess. I didn't need to repeat known information.
I get very little.
But if I had said, what, we want him for a guess, you'd call me the biggest idiot on earth.
No, you should have said, that's a good idea.
Well, I got him, didn't I?
I'll get to work on it.
And I got him.
Yeah.
I always do.
All right, we're going to take a break. Annette Wiles, formerly of Fort Hays State University, one of the all-time greats in women's basketball, certainly at that school, and really in the state of Kansas. We'll talk with Annette next. Annette Wiles joins us, formerly of Fort Hays State University, longtime coach in women's basketball, and now the director of the Hummer Sports Complex in Topeka. She is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October after, what a career you had. Thank you, Annette, for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. I couldn't be more excited to be with you.
Well, you know, we try to do our research, and we notice both Jeff and I, my son, who does the show with me, that you're from Hunter, Kansas, and I like to think I've heard of most towns in the state of Kansas. I love the state of Kansas. I was a high school sports reporter for a long, long time, but that one got me. Hunter, Kansas. Tell us about that upbringing.
Well, Hunter, Kansas is up in north central Kansas, and it's a town of about 100 people. My dad was the longtime mayor for over 30 years of our little town as I was a kid growing up in it. We went to Sylvan Grove, to Sylvan Unified High School is where I went to high school. And, you know, Hunter is just straight north off of I-70, exit 209, and it's by the fabulous Wilson Lake. I know that's a lot of lake destinations of people in Kansas, and it's not horribly far north of Wilson Lake.
Do they have a cafe? Because my wife and I like to go on day trips. To Hunter?
We have the Hunter Cafe, and it is the best food around.
Oh my gosh.
Continue to be excited about a cheeseburger from Kay, and there's always the Friday fried chicken. And she has the lunch specials for $5.99. So, you know, you can't go wrong with a drive up to Hunter to the Hunter Cafe.
Oh, I love that. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, Annette, what kind of opportunities did you have to continue your basketball career following high school? This was the early 90s. We're not talking about ancient times or anything like that. but how did you kind of make your way to Fort Hays, and where else maybe did you consider?
Well, the best thing that happened to my career is Mike Weatherman became our basketball coach in high school, and he was just a very incredibly knowledgeable football coach, boys basketball coach, and he eventually saw the talent that we had in our girls basketball program in our small school, and he welcomed to become our head coach. And that's what really propelled my high school career, was having such a quality individual becoming our head coach. My sister and I both played. She's 2 years younger. We both played on the high school teams that we were fortunate to be able to go to the state tournament my junior and senior year, and we were an undefeated state championship game team. And I just thank the Lord that Coach Weatherman came into our life as our high school coach. And then I fortunately, through my career in high school, back in the archaic days of the 80s and the early 90s, they actually kept score, and I happened to lead all classes 1A through 6A in girls basketball in scoring in the state of Kansas.
Wow.
So I was recruited by most of the schools in that time was the Big Eight, and visited KU, visited K-State, visited Mizzou. And I used to get a Sunday night phone call at 6 p.m. every night from the University of Hawaii. And I always thought that was the coolest thing, that I might be playing wow. basketball in Hawaii. But my parents said they'd never come see me play, so I wrote them off very early in my recruiting process.
I would have come to see you play a couple times.
That would have been a positive for me. Yeah. So
I used to enjoy talking to them Wiles, about what the weather was.
There you go. Annette Wiles is our guest. She's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. In her career at Fort Hays State, she scored 2,407 points. That's a lot of points. She had a tremendous basketball career. And you followed that directly into coaching. It's almost as if basketball kind of consumed your life. Annette, how'd that come about?
I think basketball and sports in general have always been a vehicle in my life. I mean, they're the things that propelled me to a college education, to a master's degree in athletic administration, and have propelled my life. And I've always looked at sports as that vehicle. Once I was recruited to Fort Hays, played for John Klein and Tom Burkhart. And, you know, I stand on the shoulders of a lot of great teammates. I have other teammates that are equally in Fort Hays Hall of Fame. We were just a really hardworking, blue-collar group of Kansas kids that wanted to win. And, you know, for the fortune of my senior year winning the national championship and being the most valuable player, I think were the highlights of my collegiate career. And as a part of that, just being a result of being a post player, I was fortunate to score a lot of points and get a lot of rebounds, because I always joked I also used to lead Fort Hays in the rebound category, because I also missed a lot of shots, got my own rebounds, and put them in. But being a team that was able to win a national championship, and then I was asked to stay on as the graduate assistant, and then that kind of propelled, and I owe a lot to my coaches and my teammates at Fort Hays. I stand on their shoulders in receiving an honor like this, because we were certainly a great team and accomplished a lot of great things.
When you got into coaching, obviously you were pretty young, really young for the profession especially. So
yeah.
What did you see for yourself at that time? Did you expect to make a life of it? You kind of did, but you've also
Absolutely.
Now gotten into the administration side as well. So was that a mindset shift for you to do that, or was that kind of just an evolution for what you wanted to do?
Well, I was blessed that there was a search committee at Bethany College looking for a young coach with a lot of energy, and I was able to land my first head coaching job there at Lindsberg at Bethany College when I was 23, and recruited a lot of very talented academic and athletic kids. We were able to go to four national tournaments, and then the greatest phone call of my life was when Dr. Hammond called and asked me to be invited back to being the head coach at Fort Hays. And I think a lot of athletes dream of those moments of being invited back home. And being able to go back to Fort Hays, you know, over an 8-year career, and being able to go to two national tournaments, and then the opportunity to coach at the University of Minnesota, never lived out of the state of Kansas, wanted to venture out of the boundaries of Kansas, and lived in the Northland for 7 winters, which I think is an accomplishment in itself. And then there was just time, and life happens. I have a daughter that was actually born on the opening day of college basketball season, and you start to realize that your life shifts, your parents are getting older, you want to be back around your family and friends. friends that you grew up, and it was a natural progression to move back to Kansas. And life happened, and now I work for Topeka Public Schools as the district athletic director and also the director of Hummer Sports Park, our million-dollar sports complex, and absolutely love it and still am a part of the sports. I enjoy all of the things that come with the administrative side of life in athletics.
Annette Wiles is our guest going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, that ceremony coming up in October in Topeka. So I've read about how you reacted when you were told about this Hall of Fame induction. You got a little emotional, didn't you?
I know, I did. And eventually on that day in October, I'm going to have to find the gentleman that was actually the person calling me, because he said it's one of the joys of what he gets to do to inform the inductees. And it was a difficult period of time for many minutes of gathering myself, because I was genuinely overcome with emotion. And being a proud native Kansan, you know, you've been born and raised your whole life. And obviously my first phone call was to my parents for thanking them for giving me birth and being the supportive parents to drive a career in sports. And I just was overcome. And I started thinking about the greats like Lynette Woodard, and I started thinking about the Jackie Styles, and I start thinking about people, and to know that you're in that same sentence and that breath with them, it's just an honor and genuinely a privilege that just overwhelmed me. So, yeah, it was very humbling.
Well, you mentioned Lynette and Jackie, and there's been this incredible renaissance or explosion of women's basketball over the past several years. I think Caitlin Clark certainly has driven that, but there are several others who are along for that ride. How gratifying is it to see women's basketball gain in popularity the way it has?
Absolutely. And I think it's just the excitement. I think so much of it is the sponsorships and the boosters and the drive of universities and college and in support of programs and student athletes. And I think one of the greatest parts of women's basketball, one of the things I was always the most proud about, even as a head college coach, over a 25-year college coaching career, I had a 96% graduation rate of all of the players that played in my programs for 4 years. And as a part of that, you're just seeing people with amazing stories. And I think that's what you're finally starting to see, is the true stories of women's basketball and where we all come from and how we go through the grind and the work and put the time in. And it is fun to see the women's sport. It's fun to see all women's sports growing in sponsorship and popularity. And again, it's just a joy and a journey. And so much of that is because of the women that came before us. And we stand on the shoulders of many women in the decades prior to our time. And I wish to pass that on and pass the torch to others in the future of their careers.
Well, you hold a bunch of career records at Fort Hays State in all kinds of categories, single season records galore. This is a well-deserved honor. We're happy to have the opportunity to talk to you. And as great as you've been in this interview, you were never able to top your suggestion for the Hunter Cafe, Annette.
Well, Kay will thank me, and the community of Hunter will thank me when they say that you came and had the cheeseburger at the Hunter Cafe. So it's worth the drive and worth your time.
We're definitely going to make that happen. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And look forward to being in the Hall of Fame, which is located there in Wichita, and just absolutely can't be more thrilled for my family, my teammates, and my coaches. So just very blessed.
You've had an amazing life, and we appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you. Wish you the best.
All right. Annette Wiles. Boy, I like that interview a lot. Going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, huh?
I said good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. And you know what she'd have said if I'd asked her about a pancake eating contest? She would have said, go for it. That's what I believe. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have a guy on who's doing one of those things where 3,000 miles across the country, a goal of raising $1 million, riding his bike 225 miles.
Doesn't he know he could have just had a pancake eating contest?
I'm reading all this stuff, and he's a Wichita guy, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow on the show by the name of Mark Wiggins.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to happen at 2:45 tomorrow. I'm always amazed by those guys.
Well, they put a lot of time in and are genetic
freaks. How much the
farthest
you could ride a bike?
I don't know. Probably not that far.
A mile? Two?
It depends on how fast I go. But I could probably ride for a while, slowly.
You know, back in the day, I think you rode a bike some. I rode one.
Yeah, I like all riding the time. Bikes.
All over Derby, just going out and rode. Never thought a thing about it. Parents never thought a thing about it. I'm not even sure they knew I was gone.
It was harder here, but I rode a bike a lot in Ohio because we lived in a little subdivision. You could ride around the neighborhood.
I just rode everywhere. Yeah. Didn't matter if it was a subdivision or not.
Well, in the city, it's hard. It's harder to ride a bike in the city. You got to get on sidewalks, and there are not as many side streets you can go on. It just is what it is, but I like riding bikes.
I just rode it out in the main street. I rode it along K-15 a lot.
There were 8 cars in 3 hours, but yeah.
Why do you say that about Derby when I was growing up?
It was a small town when you were growing up.
6,000, 7,000 people.
It's pretty small.
Wasn't that small. I mean, we were a 4A high school. I had 375 people in my graduating class. I didn't grow up in Hunter, Kansas, for crying out loud.
Well, you might as well have.
Really? That's what...
Yeah. Was there even a cafe in Derby while you were there?
Sure there was.
What was the name of it?
I can't remember the name of it. There were several.
Good.
There was one that had tremendous chicken fried steak.
Do you wish towns like Derby... Obviously, they want to grow. But growing to where they have a bunch of chains and you push out some of the local businesses, how do you feel about stuff like that?
I don't have the sentimental thoughts about Derby that I wish I did.
You don't?
No, because it has grown. It's almost unrecognizable. I have sentimental thoughts about my childhood. And the Derby of then.
Right. I think that's what that is.
But I don't go to Derby today and think, oh, I just love this place. I love growing up there. I'm proud to be from Derby. I loved that town when I was a kid. I mean, there was no, in my opinion, now everybody thinks this, there was nowhere, there was no place better to grow up.
Not everybody.
A lot of people think that.
I guess.
I had a great time in Derby. My friends were glad. I grew up in a neighborhood where there were a bunch of kids. So finding someone to play with or do something outdoors was never a challenge. There were a bunch of kids who were athletic, liked to play baseball and basketball and football. So that was always fun. So every day when the weather was conducive, we were doing something sports-wise outside.
Of course.
Who wouldn't want to grow up in that?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
If you're a sports person like I was.
No question.
Every morning, you like these nostalgia stories.
Yeah, they're the best.
You fed me right into it. So during the baseball season, every morning we would get up early, and there were 3 or 4 of us, and we would go out and start to play catch really early in preparation for the noon game down at the ball field at Pleasant View Elementary. There was a noon game every day.
It's fantastic.
And we'd start preparing for it around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
A little early. Probably wore yourself out for the noon start, but it's all right.
No, it was fun. I'd get a bullpen in.
You would?
Sure.
No, you
wouldn't. Why are you laughing?
You wouldn't get a bullpen in.
Of course I'd get a bullpen
in. No one's down there catching you in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Nobody. Who was your bullpen catcher?
Steve Wilson.
He was? Wilson?
He's been on this show.
Sounds like you made
that up. He made fun of me because my mother was protective of me.
He did?
Yeah, you don't remember that? I'll never have him on again.
What'd he call you?
A little baby or something.
That's unfortunate.
Well, I don't know what he called me. He just mentioned that as a kid. That's the thing he remembers most about.
Oh.
Which,
did you get bullied as a kid by anybody?
No more than anybody else got bullied.
What would they call you, though?
Yeah, you know.
What were some of the bully nicknames?
Yeah, you know. I got bullied a little bit.
Ugly Bob.
But my mom always came to the rescue.
Well, that's good for her.
What did you say they called me?
Nothing.
No, what did you say?
I said Ugly Bob.
Ugly Bob.
Yeah. Is that what they call
me? That's what you're calling me.
No, I'm just asking.
You're calling me ugly.
No, I'm asking if that's
what. So you think I was ugly?
No, I'm asking if that's what they called you.
No, you've seen pictures of me as a kid.
Sure I have.
Do you think I'm ugly?
No, I'm asking.
Well, then why would they call me ugly?
I don't know, Matt. I just had to throw something out there.
Would I have ever said that to you? What did they call you? Homely Jeff?
They did, actually, yes.
Yeah, so I would have said that.
No, I'm asking if that's what they called you.
Why would you even think of that?
That's just the first thing that came to mind.
You had to believe that I was ugly as a child.
No, absolutely
not. That had to be what popped into your head. Well, if you got bullied, what would be the reasons?
Ugly Bob.
Well, he was pretty ugly.
You're obviously extremely handsome now, but
I don't get it.
I don't know. I wasn't alive. That's why I'm asking.
But I was ugly as a child.
I have no idea.
Based on the photos you've seen.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't know.
I was ugly. Say it.
I'm not going to say it.
You're saying that as a child, way back 60, 65 years ago,
There's no child. There's no ugly children.
That I was ugly, physically ugly.
No.
Then why'd you say it?
It's funny.
I think you turned off a lot of people with that
you
comment.
Think so?
No, seriously.
I think I made a lot of people happy.
A lot of people are saying, you know what, until Bob gets another co-host,
I'm
done with
out.
This show.
That could be it.
And what I'll say to those people is I'm working on it. Did we hear back from Duda?
Of course. What do you think? Did he send a thumbs up or a K?
Apparently we didn't.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Now remember, we've got our show get together tomorrow.
We do.
At the pump house.
Max coming? He's not because he's got it.
Max has dogs to feed, which is basically the equivalent, not of a thumb up, but a middle finger up.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I had to let them out. They've been in the house. One's barely a year old.
Take 10 minutes, Max. Then you can come.
We'll do that and then come to the pump house.
And I got
to
feed them and they got to go out.
Yeah. Well, we'll miss you.
You want to go karaoke in afterwards?
No.
All right.
The big fella Anthony's going to be there.
He is.
So is the program director, Tony Deuce.
Really? What an outing this will be.
Should I invite my good friend Ted Woodward?
If you want. He's not a part of the show, so that seems a little
It is a little odd. But we could do our Shocker Old Men routine.
And David and I could sit at the other end of the table. Yeah, if you're going to invite Ted, invite 12 or 14 others so we can distance ourselves as much as possible.
Really?
Sure.
So you're a mean-spirited person.
I am not. Ted would laugh at that.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate Max, who we wish could be there tomorrow night. Maybe he'll think of a way to do it. We hope so. We'll see you tomorrow.